Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next hour, as we dive deeper into life with Jesus Christ, the most awesome person who ever lived. I hope that you were able to listen to Anne McGlone's show before this one. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And so if you didn't get a chance, go on our website and look for the podcasts and everything, and it will be on there in a week or so. But it was all about Jesus, and we should be all about Jesus. So God bless her. She's just terrific. And all the other broadcasters here, they make your heart sing with their beautiful messages, and the Lord really has been good to us. So anyway, I am very excited about a lot of things these days, and in particular, our new Pope. I have a lot of good reasons, I believe, in being hopeful and looking forward to his pontificate. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, people are always asking me questions about things. And one of them, you know, is what do you think about this new Pope, et cetera, et cetera. And I, well, obviously, I don't know a lot about him at this point, but I am trusting the Lord. I trust in the Lord, and no matter what happens, I trust him. So that's all I need to know. Okay, of course, as time goes on, need to know more. But right now, I trust the Lord. But I want to start with a prayer for the new Pope, Pope Leo XIV, and I ask you to join me, all right, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we come to you today and thank you and praise you for taking care of the Church and giving us, through the Cardinals, our new Pope Leo XIV. It's so wonderful to belong to a Church that has such a long history and can really be counted on in so many ways. The members, even the cardinals and the Pope, can be imperfect, but the Church is supported by you, and we're so grateful for that. And so we come before you, Lord, you, the source of eternal life and truth. We ask you to give your shepherd, Pope Leo XIV, a spirit of courage and right judgment, a spirit of knowledge and love. And may you, Lord, preserve him, give him a long life, make him blessed upon the earth, and not hand him over to the power of his enemies. By governing with faith those entrusted to his care, may he, as successor to the Apostle Peter and Vicar of Christ, build your Church into a sacrament of unity, love, and peace for all the world. We pray this in our dear Lord Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, if you're not familiar with some of the verbiage, you know, and terms used in the Catholic Church, you know, Vicar of Christ, a vicar is one who represents someone, or who carries on the teaching of someone. And so the Pope is the Vicar of Christ. He carries on the teachings of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So anyway, you know, it's interesting. A lot changed since the last time I was with you last week on Monday. We had just buried Pope Francis and had that incredible funeral. I talked about that. And I also shared with you that Deacon Joe Iannucci, God bless him and may he rest in peace, had also died right about, I think, on the same day as Pope Francis. And he was a dear friend of mine. And when I went through RCIA, he said something that stuck with me all these years. And I also was really touched again by what he said. And he said, basically, you know, come what way, no matter what you think of him or whether you're Catholic or not, when the Pope speaks, the world listens. When the Pope speaks, the world listens. And you know what? It's very true. It's mind-boggling that I belong to the church that Jesus started, and that lineage of popes from Jesus Christ and St. Peter all the way to now is unbroken and basically has continued all this time. And it has grown to be so important in the world, such an influence in the world, that the Pope is listened to. May not agree with them, but the Pope is listened to by dignitaries and leaders of other nations, by us. You know, it's amazing. I mean, the funeral was mind-boggling, because of all the people that were there from around the world. Not just lay people like you and I, but dignitaries and cardinals and everyone. I mean, so many people were there from all walks of life, all countries, even Muslims. And, you know, it was amazing. And that was because they respected him. Okay. And what they know what a leader on a world stage goes through. That's why we have to pray for them. Because we have to pray for our Pope, but we also have to pray for the leaders of our other nations, because what they go through in this day and age, whether you like them or not, is very challenging, and the Lord could help them become better leaders. And so that's what we pray for. But anyway, this week, I'm thrilled. I mean, I want to share with you some things that have come to mind since Pope Leo XIV was elected. It was a fairly quick election, but there have been other quick elections in the last few years, so I'm not worried about that. And so anyway, it was amazing when the conclave was, you know, behind closed doors, and everyone was waiting for the smoke and everything to see if we had a new pope. It was like the whole world was sitting on the edge of their chair. I have friends who aren't even Catholic, who were mesmerized by this whole process, and were watching it and everything. It was like the whole world was on the edge of their seats, and of course, you know, we Catholics were definitely. And it was just thrilling to see, you know, even the secular news agencies, who really have not been very friendly to our faith, actually downright nasty to it, and also constantly picking on the popes and the hierarchy and, you know, blowing a lot of things out of proportion and misquoting the Pope and all kinds of things. Even they were broadcasting with some form of respect, most of them, and curiosity about what was going to be happening. So it was, I felt like it was a real movement of the Spirit to bring the world together in a different kind of way than we have been. And it was exciting to me. And so, you know, in fact, when it was announced that the smoke was white and that we do have a new pope, I got more texts from my non-Catholic friends excited about it and excited to let me know about it than I did from my Catholic friends. But I have to tell you that I think it's because my Catholic friends were so mesmerized by what was going on that they were too busy watching it and understand, you know, waiting on the edge of their seats than, you know, thinking about me and, oh, I've got to text Rita. Plus, they knew that I would know, you know. But it was really fun to share that with all of my friends, and especially with my friends who aren't Catholic. You know, it was just a nice communion moment for all of us. It was nice. I really enjoyed it. I have to tell you that Pope Leo's words, things he said since he was elected, and also going back in some of the things that I have either heard or read online of various things that he has spoken about over the last few years, I've been impressed with a lot of what he said, and I like his simplicity, his clarity. We just have to wait and see how his pontificate is going to go. And I'm very disappointed that almost before he was elected, there were some people I actually have respected in the past, jumping all over him and saying, you know, nasty things, speculating whether or not this was a real election, and you name it. It's unbelievable what comes out of the woodwork in even some of the most well-intentioned. I mean, like, I read something the other night, and it was like, why would you even bring this subject up right now in such a way that if someone reads it that's not familiar with it, it's going to destroy their faith? What is the point of being so negative or about the church, or about the Pope, about all of that? If you're Catholic, what is the point? What are you trying to accomplish? Because it's destroying things. You know, it's one thing to bring up something that really, you know, needs to be addressed, that may have already happened. You know, oh, well, I disagree with what happened. And, I mean, like the abuse scandal and everything. I mean, obviously we're going to talk about something like that, but to speculate on things that you can't possibly know at this point, and to assume the worst and bring skeletons out of the closet that have been dealt with, but you don't think they've been dealt with right. I mean, it's please give this Pope a chance. Please, please. You know, do you have more faith in God in allowing him to be chosen? Or do you have more faith in the evil that the world is bringing all around us? You know, it's God has him there for a reason, and we have to trust that. Whether we agree with everything he says or not, he's there for a reason. And so was Francis, so was Benedict, and so was John Paul II, and all of the ones before them. So anyway, Pope Leo this morning met with journalists and the media, and I know someone that was there, and she posted some video footage from it, and the press was elated. And these are not just Catholic press. These were people from the press all over the world. He had a special audience for them, and he blessed them, and he encouraged them. He spoke to them, and I want to share with you some of the things that he said to them. And if you don't think that those kind of things, if they were practiced, would bring some peace to the world, I don't know where you're coming from, because it was beautiful. But they were filled with joy and enthusiasm with this new Pope. He was kind to them. He welcomed them, and it was sincere. So what I'd like to share with you now is some of the things that he encouraged. I'm quoting from an article by Devin Watkins, okay, who works for the Vatican News. And I had read it, the full text, and I like the way that this person, Devin, writes about what he said. So I'm going to use his article. Pope Leo thanked reporters in Italian for their tireless work over these intense few weeks with the death of Pope Francis and the conclave and the election of himself. So he began his remarks with a call for communication to foster peace by caring for how people and events are presented. Foster peace by caring for how people and events are presented. He invited media professionals to promote a different kind of communication, one that does not seek consensus at all costs, does not use aggressive words, does not follow the culture of competition, and never separates the search for truth from the love with which we must humbly seek it. We must seek the truth in love. We must realize that what we say and how we do our work builds up or destroys. It affects people in a profound way, both those we're reporting on and those we're reporting to. And he says here, the way we communicate is of fundamental importance. We must say no to the war of words and images. We must reject the paradigm of that type of war, the war of words and images. Think about that. Think about that. It's so true that we have been having wars in the media. I'm not talking about our network because we're different. But in the secular media out there, they are at war with each other. You know, they're trying to outdo each other. They're trying to get the latest little scoop of whatever might be true or could be misconstrued as truth to fill up their 24 hours of broadcasting. And they really are at war in many ways. I never thought of it that way, but it is a war of words and images. And he says he reaffirmed the church's solidarity with journalists who are imprisoned for reporting the truth, and he called for their release. And he said their suffering reminds the world of the importance of the freedom of expression and the press, adding that only informed individuals can make free choices. If we're not getting the truth in our news, if we're getting lies and innuendo, if we're getting, we can't trust what we're hearing as truth, we cannot make informed free choices because we are being influenced by, you know, falsehoods. So he's trying to encourage the press to give up what has been happening in the press for the last, you know, probably 20 years or so. And there, I know journalists who are afraid to go against the system in their at their network and tell the truth because they have an agenda at the network that if they speak the truth and don't go along with the agenda, they'll be fired. And for some have been fired and have, you know, reported their conscience. But a lot of people are afraid of not having a job, of being blacklisted, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a complicated thing to choose to report the truth. And he knows that. But he's still encouraging, you know, the media to tell the truth. He thanked reporters for their service to the truth, especially their work to present the church in the beauty of Christ's love during the recent interregnum period when the conflict and everything, conclave, and everything was going on and prior to that. He commended their work to put aside stereotypes and cliches in order to share with the world the essence of who we are. There was a lot of honesty in the reporting from Pope Francis's sickness and Easter Sunday and his death and everything since then, there has been a fair amount of respect in the national medias and the world medias. Not perfect, but more than I expected. So he said, "Our times," he continued, "present many issues that are difficult to recount and navigate, noting that they call each of us to overcome mediocrity." Many issues are difficult to recount and navigate, and they call each of us to overcome mediocrity. The church must face the challenges posed by the times, he said. In the same way, communication and journalism do not exist outside of time and history. St. Augustine reminds us of this when he said, "Let us live well, and the times will be good." We are the times. So if we live well in our media, if we live well in our work, if we live well in the church, if we live well in our neighborhoods, if we live well in our lives, the times will be good. And so he also said the modern world can leave us lost in a confusion of loveless languages that are often ideological or partisan. Listen to the news tonight. How much love are you seeing in these, how much heart are you seeing in the secular media when they report? Just think about it. Think about it. And he's saying, the modern world leaves us lost in a confusion of loveless languages that are often ideological or partisan. The media, he said, must take up the challenge to lead the world out of such a Tower of Babel through the words we use and the style we adopt. Communication is not only the transmission of information, he said, but it's also the creation of a culture of human and digital environments that become spaces for dialogue and discussion, not cancellation and wokeness. Communication is not only the transmission of information, it's also the creation of a culture of human and digital environments that become spaces for dialogue and discussion. Boy, do we need that. Pointing to the spread of artificial intelligence, the Pope said AI's immense potential requires responsibility and discernment in order to ensure that it can be used for the good of all so that it can benefit all of humanity. In other words, not to be used without discernment for the good of humanity, not out of selfish or power-hungry means. Okay. In conclusion, Pope Leo the 14th repeated Pope Francis's message for the 2025 World Day of Social Communication. And this is the quote he left them with: "Let us disarm communication of all prejudice and resentment, fanaticism, and even hatred," he said. "Let us disarm words, and we will help disarm the world." Boy. And that was Pope Francis. That is a profound an absolutely true statement. Let us disarm words, and we will help disarm the world. Wow. Wow. Okay. Let's move on a little bit. We have a new pope. Our responsibilities as Catholic Christians, and I believe all Christians around the world, is to pray for the pope. Pray for believers, pray for the church, pray for those in and out of the church, you know. And we Catholic Christians, we need to be grateful that we have a pope and a church that has not been destroyed for over 2,000 years. You know, it continues. The Lord protects it. And so let's be grateful. And then one of our responsibilities is to accept this new pope's teaching with respect, openness, and to try to understand it. please don't listen to the people that are out there in media land, both Catholic and non-Catholic, who are trying to speculate as to what kind of pope he's going to be. How about if we wait and see? How about if we wait and see instead of having eat our words later? And how about we don't listen to the press and take their word for it? How about if we do something radical and go to Vatican.va website and VaticanNews.va to get our information about this pope from? Read the full text of what he has said. Watch the videos, the full videos of what he has said in the Vatican websites. Poor Pope Francis, he was misquoted. They took videos and chopped them up and did what they want to with him and gave terrible information about him that was used to vilify him and to put him on a pedestal with groups that he shouldn't have been on a pedestal for. It was horrible. And I found that if I went to the Vatican and I read in context what he said, it was a totally different thing than what I was seeing on the news. So I'm encouraging you, if you're questioning something of his, go to the Vatican website, Vatican.va and VaticanNews.va to get your information. Please, please, spare yourself a lot of heartache and wasted time listening to other people. Listen to him. And so already there's a lot of lies and a lot of sadness out there as to what, it breaks my heart. But there's also a lot of really good, wonderful things going on. And I am optimistic because I know that the Lord has put him there for a reason, and we can trust that. Okay? I have to take a break, and I will be back. And I hope that you'll stick with me. I'm going to talk about something that has been on my mind and that I think is very important for you to know when I come back. So God bless you, and stick with me. See you in a little bit.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, I'm Rita Halclane, your host for the next half hour. We've been talking about the joy of the new pope and also discerning what you listen to about him and about the church, and just really filled with joy today. So I want to share some of that with you. But during this whole thing, I've been thinking about how... Jesus said, "I will not leave you orphans." And then he went on to talk about, I'll send you the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. All right. But he had already formed the church. You might not realize that, but he had already formed the church through his disciples and apostles, and it was already in existence. And so he's telling the church, both the leaders and those of us who were the laity, that he was going to also send, in addition to forming the church, send the Holy Spirit to protect us, to lead us, to guide us, to watch over us. And so he did not leave us orphans. He left the church, the same church that you and I belong to, the Catholic Church, where it was, you know, protected. The teachings of Jesus have been protected ever since he walked the earth. And we can trust that. You know, he told us he would never leave us in chaos, to be little islands of people, to decide, well, did he say this, or what did he say, how did he do this, and what, you know, he would never have done that. He would never have done that. You know, and he did say that, you know, in Matthew 10:16, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, who is he? He's the great shepherd, okay? And the Pope has been entrusted with his teaching year after year after year. There's been some good popes, not so good popes, because they're all human. Look at St. Peter. Look at St. Peter. If you're expecting a pope to be absolutely perfect, well then, you know, be careful. That's all I can say. Because, and a lot of people have the misconception that the Pope, whenever the Pope speaks, he's infallible. That we Catholics believe that anything he says is perfection. It's dogma. It's, you know, we must, you know, accept it. But that's not really true. We do need to listen, and we do need to trust that the Lord is speaking to us through him. But the Pope is only infallible when he is speaking on specific dogma, a clarification of dogma, and he is actually, it's a special process. It's not everything he says. It's a special process that he's speaking ex cathedra from the chair of St. Peter. It is a very, very rare and very specific type of speaking to the church and to the world. And so it's not common. But we are called to listen, just like people listen to St. Peter, because he knew Jesus. We listen to Pope Leo because he knows Jesus. And he has been elected by the other leaders of the church and allowed by God to take the chair of Peter, to be in that chair ever since. So anyway, I'm not going to go into all of that, but basically, one of the things is that, you know, if we're amongst wolves, we need to have a shepherd. We need to know which way to go. We need to be protected. We need to be led by the shepherd, and that's the Pope. Okay, there's wolves out there who create chaos, who try to devour our faith, try to devour our work, and that's why we need church. That's why we need church, and that's why we need a Pope. But basically, what's been coming to my mind so much lately is back 2 years after Pope Francis was elected, Cardinal Timothy Dolan wrote a little, like, pamphlet. I guess it's not too little. It's 40 pages. And it was called, and I'll show it to you if you're watching on Facebook. And you can get a PDF of this, or you can buy the book, Soul, Mind, and Heart, Personal Reflections on St. John Paul II, Benedict, and Francis, the last three popes. And I read it, and I thought he was right on target when I read it then. And now that we have a new pope, I think he was even more on target for a lot of reasons. And I want to share some of it with you. In his introduction, again, this is from Soul, Mind, and Heart, written by Cardinal Dolan in 2015. It says, as Catholics, we believe Jesus is present to us in many different ways, through the Bible, the church, the sacraments, the saints, family and friends, our faith, Jesus' life of grace in our soul, the beauty of nature, just to name a few. Another way we Catholics believe that Jesus uniquely and powerfully shares his teaching with us is through the gift of the Pope. Our Holy Father is always a unique agent for bringing us closer to Christ. And he goes on, I'm not reading the whole thing, but at the risk of an oversimplification, an easy way to think about the last three popes is this: the soul, the mind, and the heart. The church is meant to be the soul of the world and is meant to put on the mind of Christ and to reveal the heart of Jesus. I propose that we look at Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, as emphasizing the soul of the church, Pope Benedict XVI is highlighting the mind of the church, and Pope Francis is giving priority to the heart of the church. The church has been immensely blessed with these contemporary pontiffs. I certainly don't mean to imply that each only focused on one of these three aspects. On the contrary, each of these popes had these three characteristics in abundance. And yet every human organism and every institution needs a soul, a mind, and a heart. So does the supernatural family we call the church. Let's explore how each of these popes reminds us of and encourages us to be renewed in soul, mind, and heart. And then Cardinal Dolan goes on to say, the soul, Pope St. John Paul II. In October 16, 1978, when Carol Joseph Wojtyła was elected to the chair of Peter, the church seemed to be in the doldrums, maybe even in a crisis. In fact, the world and the church seemed somewhat exhausted. In his close to 27 inspired years as pastor of the church, as Pope Universal, Church Universal, his mission was to restore the weary soul of the church. He believed that if we could restore the primacy of the spiritual life of the church, everything else would fall into place. This was no surprise, since he truly believed the mandate of Jesus to seek first the kingdom of God, where Jesus says that in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. His emphasis on the soul was evident to others. His first pastoral visit to the United States in 79, he was greeted at the White House by President Jimmy Carter, who called him the soul of the world. When he returned to the United States in 87, Billy Graham called him a providential from God prescription for humanity's exhausted soul. A providential prescription for humanity's exhausted soul. In 2004, Rabbi Gilbert Rosenthal, a leader in Jewish Catholic relations, was taking a group of Jewish leaders to meet the Holy Father not long before he died. The Pope was in fragile health at the time, and somebody asked Rabbi Rosenthal, "The Pope is ill. He's feeble and can hardly talk. Why are you going to visit him?" To which the rabbi responded, "We're not going to see his body. We're going to see his soul." The primacy of the soul. Wow. We are not going to see his body. We are going to see his soul. And if you ever were blessed to be able to see him in person, you know exactly what this rabbi is talking about. It's so funny. I wasn't even Catholic, but I insisted on going to see him at Giant Stadium, because I could read his soul. It was St. John Paul II's mission to recover the priority of the spiritual life. He himself had an extraordinary vibrant life of the soul. Okay, and he had a very deep prayer life. I heard he prayed 8 hours a day, you know, spread out 2 hours or whatever throughout the day. But he prayed 8 hours a day because prayer came first. And this is Dolan again in John Paul's life. He was a man of intense prayer who knew the importance of his own soul as the key to his ministry. He understood that if he himself wasn't brimming over with God's grace and mercy, he was useless. If he didn't have a strong love for God, he couldn't share it with others. Because as the expression goes, you can't give what you don't have. Here was a man whose own interior life gave him an immense sense of courage in the face of obstacles. Here was a man in whom the words, "Be not afraid," were incarnated. You know, it's interesting. I read something the other day. I can't remember who said it, but it was some leader in the world who, I can't remember who it was, but he said, "It's the only human I've ever met that was without fear. The only human I've ever met that was without fear." And that says a lot. But, you know, if you're in tune with the Lord and you're spending a lot of time with him in your prayer life, you're going to receive so much grace. You're going to receive direction. You're going to receive confidence in him, in the Lord, that will allow you not to be afraid or to have little less fear. Anyway, Cardinal Dolan goes on to say that in 1920, when Karol Wojtyła was born, Poland was a nation whose soul had been gravely tested. The country had been decimated by the ravages of World War I and was far from recovery. So Poland basically grew up in a Poland that was on its knees, both spiritually and materially. His childhood was marked by tragedy and loss. His mother died when he was a child. He hardly knew her. His sister soon died after that. The two most important people and the only two family members he had left, his father and his brother, actually died. He came home as a teenager and found his father dead at home. You know, had just died from, you know. So, his older brother that he loved and idolized, who was a physician, died from one of the diseases he was treating other people for. He was alone. And in September 1939, German forces invaded Poland and began 6 years of Nazi tyranny. Members of the Jewish community, which included many of his dearest friends, were taken away. He never saw them again. Everyone was tormented. Everyone was tyrannized. And then in 1945, Germany was defeated, though. But historians say Poland was one of those unfortunate countries that lost the war twice. Nazi troops were gone, only to be replaced by Joseph Stalin's communist China, ushering 4 decades of harassment and oppression under a totalitarian regime. And so, you know, Papa John Paul, please allow him to me to call him that. I got a miracle from him myself, so he means a lot to me. But as you know, he went on to become Pope, and he went back to Poland, while the communists were there. They didn't want him to come, but somehow or another, it worked out that he was able to go. And he spoke to his people. And where is it in here? He encouraged them to remember, here it says here, the first 9 days of June 1979, when John Paul II returned to his beloved Poland as Bishop of Rome, as Pope, they have been dubbed 9 days that changed the world. And it says, in those 9 days, nearly one half of the population of Poland came out to see their Pope, and yet never did Pope John Paul II say the word communism, nor did he say the word Russia, nor indeed anything overtly political. Instead, he spoke about the soul. He spoke about the noble truths of our faith and how ultimately we are focused on God. For the first time in many years, the people of Poland were able to raise their heads in pride, reminded of their culture, their faith, and their history. See, this is what we can learn from him about how we speak to others. Don't talk bad about this politician or that politician or atheism or anything. Talk about the beauty of our faith and the joy it brings to you and the peace it can bring to the world. If we all follow what Jesus has taught us, his way. And so anyway, it goes on, but he's saying, the country of Poland rose up and reclaimed its spiritual heritage, and the Polish people had recovered their soul. And so the communist regime fell, and the Polish people have been pretty much free ever since. So he taught us about how important our spiritual lives are, how important we are as human beings. He started with the book of Genesis, and where is it? I'm sorry. I'm trying to bring this to you in an orderly fashion, but I'm right now I'm having a little trouble. He started with the dignity of the person, how we are created in the image and likeness of God, how from the very beginning, we, no matter who we are all created by God, we all are important, we all have dignity, and we need to treat each other with dignity and respect. And those that we disagree with, we need to have dialogue. We need to realize that they have worth as well as we do. And unless there's violence involved and abuse of people, we need to come together and to respect each other and try to work out our differences. Okay? So, basically, again, at the end of, it says here, oh, I found it. He started at the beginning. This is the book of Genesis, by reminding us that every human person is made in the image and likeness of God. This is a God who personally, passionately loves us. We are his children, and God wants nothing more than for us to be with him in eternity. John Paul constantly reminded us that when God looks at the human person, he sees a reflection of himself. We are his work of art. We are the apple of his eye. And so in this way, he reminded all Christians that we must make Jesus the center of our lives. He wanted each member of the church to meet Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, hear his words in the synagogue, and to witness his miracles as if we were one of his disciples in A.D. 30. John Paul II emphasized then that truth was not a thing, but a person. Truth was incarnate in the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus Christ alone is the answer to the questions posed by every human life. Every human life. And so he also showed us that in his effort to restore the soul of the church, he could be seen in the example of his own suffering. He made a conscious decision to allow us to watch him die. When he became Pope, he was a vigorous, strong man, and we often saw images of him skiing or otherwise enjoying nature. In 1981, he was gravely wounded in an assassination attempt, and then, beginning in the mid-1990s, a rapid and particularly paralyzing form of Parkinson's disease ravaged his body. Yet he continued to go on. The world watched him weaken, and he taught us the power of the soul, even when the body is failing. The power of the soul, even when the body is failing. And Dolan goes on to talk about in Easter 2005, he was at St. Peter's Square, and as much as John Paul II wanted to, he couldn't offer the traditional Easter public mass. The crowds were hoping at least he could come to the window of his apartment, and sure enough, he did. His attendants wheeled him to the window to give his Easter address, but he couldn't speak. His face was contorted, and you could see the frustration. You could feel his agony. Finally, in exasperation, he gave his blessing without speaking a word. I thought to myself, this is Dolan speaking, it's over. The role of Peter is to proclaim the resurrection, and he is unable to do so. Then I caught myself and I realized how wrong my first impression had been. John Paul II, in fact, had just proclaimed the wisdom of the cross and the power of the resurrection more powerfully than ever. He taught us the victory of the soul. This is the message that restores the church. He died the following Sunday. And so Dolan goes on to say, we have souls. We are not animals controlled by passion and urges and appetites, but instead we are temples of the Holy Spirit, made in the image and likeness of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We have the life of the Blessed Trinity within us, and we want God. Thank you, Pope St. John Paul II. And he, at the end of that, he's referring to when he was speaking in Poland. I forgot to share that with you. When he was in Poland with that communist regime, ruling their land, he was speaking to them of the glories of who they have, their culture, who they had been and are in God. And during his speech, a small group of people started chanting, "We want God." And they chanted it over and over again, and it grew and it grew and it spread and it spread. The whole crowd, almost half of the people of the country were there yelling, "We want God, we want God, we want God." And they wanted to be able to practice their faith again. As you well know, Germany didn't allow them, and neither did the communists. We want God. And so when Dolan says, we have the life of the Blessed Trinity within us, and we want God. We want God. And so Papa John Paul was the first pope in Dolan's Reflections for the Soul. God gave us Papa John Paul to renew our souls, to renew the soul of the church, to renew our souls. Because the world was kind of screwy when he was elected pope. And so he brought us back to our souls and to what really matters in our faith and who we are in God, who we truly are. All the questions that we have about who we are answered by Jesus and answered by his the leaders of the church since Jesus handed over the keys to St. Peter. And next week, I'm hoping to share with you Pope Benedict as the Lord gave us him to renew our minds, the facts, the important things about who Jesus was, who he is today, why we believe what we believe, and how beautiful our faith is. The truth is beautiful. Without truth, we lose hope. We lose who we are. We lose who others are. And so he gave us Pope Benedict to renew our minds, to reinforce and reestablish who we truly are, and in the minds of the teachings of the church and the teachings of Jesus and why they should matter. And then, if I have time, I will focus on Pope Francis as the heart of the church. Okay? What do people remember about him? I have friends who aren't even Catholic, and all they can talk about is his loving embrace of everybody and how important that to see that was to them. The heart. Francis was our heart. And his last encyclical, released just weeks before he passed, was on the human and sacred heart of Jesus and how we need to be that heart in the world today. It's amazing that Dolan saw that from the very beginning. None of the popes are perfect, but they have definitely been renewing soul, mind, and heart. And I believe that our new pope, Leo, is a combination of all three of those popes, plus himself. And I think he has been given to us for a very specific reason to tie all of that together. And I believe he will, if he stays true to himself and true to what the Lord tells him to do. Not be influenced by all of these special interest groups, but to be influenced by Jesus Christ. And he has said that already in so many ways. So I have faith in God. I have faith that this is going to work out really well, and I'm very excited about it. So before I go, I just want to ask you to consider making contributions to our network, because obviously we can't be here without you. And also, please continue to pray for us. Please continue to pray for the Pope and the whole church and all the believers of the world, and especially those in most need of mercy from the Lord, those who don't believe, who are questioning, who are seeking but haven't found. Pray especially for them. And I wish to, I guess I better close. Anyway, I'm very excited, and I hope that I've given you some hope in this. That's why I wanted to share it with you. And until we're together again, please pray for me. I'm definitely praying for you. And also pray for everyone here in His Sign Network. And we have a big job to do, and it's a much needed in this world. So we're praying for you. God bless you. See you next week. Take care.